Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Genesis chapter 1. We'll start with verse 20, the fifth day of creation. Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 20. Bible says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl, that it may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." So we have all the winged creatures and all the animals of the sea, all the creatures of the sea on the fifth day. Now, on the sixth day, the Bible says, "And God blessed them," What verse was I on? 24. "And God said, let earth bring forth after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Father, I pray that you'll bless this evening as we just talk about these, your creatures. I pray, Father, that this will be a help and an encouragement to everyone here this evening. I pray we'll have a little bit of fun together in your house as well, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The question that we're asking, answering tonight in the Here's Why series that we're doing is why and when did God create dinosaurs? That's our question tonight. Why and when did God create dinosaurs? You might want to look in your notes and just read along with me. The study of dinosaurs is fascinating. There is no question that these reptiles did exist. I've had people ask me, did dinosaurs really exist? You can't look at the bones and say they weren't ever there. However, the discovery of their remains did not take place in the modern era until the 1820s. It was then that Dr. Gideon Mantell, this is interesting to me, this is stuff that I just found out this week, an English doctor found some unusual teeth and bones in a quarry and realized that there was something very different about these animal remains. This is very unique. In fact, it's when you find teeth that are this big, you say, this is different than any other animal that I found. By 1841, about 9 different types of reptiles had been uncovered. That is when the British scientist Richard Owens coined the term dinosauria, which meant terrible lizards. Good name for dinosaurs. Terrible lizards, huge lizards. I got this information from the Genesis. Answers in Genesis. Answers in Genesis is a wonderful organization that is committed to proving the historical accuracy of Genesis, chapters 1 through 11 particularly. It's a tremendous, tremendous Christian organization, Dr. Ken Ham. We have him on our radio station, KVXL 101.1. He's on there, I think, almost daily with very interesting material about the creation of this earth and the evidence that this earth is only 6,000 to 10,000 years old. Many questions have arisen from their discovery. I mean, you find these huge animals, and the question is, there are several questions. Number one, when did God create dinosaurs? That's one we're going to talk about this evening. Then number two, why did God create them? And that's a good question. Why in the world did God create these huge animals? And then, are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? You'll be surprised how much is said about dinosaurs in the Word of God. And why aren't they alive today? We'll talk about that. And then, will we ever see dinosaurs again? And you may be thinking, I hope not. I have enough problems. I don't want to meet a Tyrannosaurus Rex coming into my living room. Interesting movies, however, have been made on the subject of dinosaurs, and they're fun to watch as they're eating other people. But I don't want to meet up with one myself. I remember I had a friend that stayed at our house one evening, and he had never seen TV. He had never seen a movie, and he had heard about Jurassic Park. And I said, "You want to see Jurassic Park?" He said, "Yeah." Well, I said, "Well, I've watched it. I have it on my DVD player. We have a thing in our home called Clear Play, which cleans up anything. So you put a movie in, and it's really great movie. Some movies only last for 15 minutes, but it's really great. It takes all the anything out that you want to have taken out of the movie, and it's a really, really neat device. If you don't have one, I would suggest that you get one because they're you can watch action movies and that type of thing, and it cleans them up. So I said, he said, "I'd really like to see that." So I said, I put it in there, and I put the movie in, and I was just walking around, and all of a sudden I heard, "Oh! Oh, oh!" And he was horrified as Tyrannosaurus Rex was eating people, and that actually was right there on the movie screen. So, anyway, dinosaurs are very interesting. I remember as a kid, in the second grade when I first heard about dinosaurs and read about them, and you start memorizing all about all the different names of dinosaurs. So we're going to answer these questions this evening about dinosaurs. And again, I don't know how long this will take, but let's take a look at it. Number one, when did God create dinosaurs? Evolutionists would say that they roamed the earth for about 140 million years. And they would say that they died off about 65 million years ago. If you go to any ride, if you go to the ride in Disneyland, the train that goes around, the last place you stop in Disneyland on the train that goes around is the prehistoric Earth. And there's dinosaurs all there eating all sorts of stuff and fighting with each other. And they'll tell you the same thing. About 140 million years ago, they roamed this earth. They were the dominion on this earth for 140 million years, and then for about 65 million years ago, they all died out before mankind ever came to the planet. The problem with that is it's just theory. The problem with that is bones, B, do not have labels on them. These are only guesses based on evolutionary theory. That's the second point. The fact is, when it comes to saying that something is billions or millions of years old, you need to understand that scientists are just guessing based on their preconceived notion. And since the popular theory in our culture today is the theory of evolution, this type of teaching that the world is millions and millions of years old is the thing. Is our slides broken?
I don't have that second point, but I have the third one.
Oh, well, okay. So that's good. That's not good. That's bad. Because I'm watching the notes to find out where I am, and now I'm off. And I am not a dinosaur expert, and you'll find that out tonight. Bones don't have labels on them. Since they don't have labels on them, then they're just guessing. Just like you would guess. People say, well, don't they have some type of carbon dating? They have carbon dating that they've used to test things and say that, hey, these are 10,000 years old, these are 30,000 years old, these are 40,000 years old. The problem is they've tested live animals with carbon dating, and they found out that they were hundreds of years old and thousands of years old as well. You can take brand new objects and carbon date them, and you get all sorts of misreadings. And so it's very, very inaccurate and very, very unstable. And again, basically, it's just guesses. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that the earth, the entire earth, and everything on it, including dinosaurs, were created by God. We need to understand that. Everything that we see on this planet, according to our Christian view, according to the Word of God, if we believe the Word of God, the Bible teaches us that everything, including dinosaurs, if there are bones on this planet, then they were created by God. We believe that, and we preach and teach that. We believe that happened about 6,000 years ago. Why do we believe the earth is only about 6,000 years old? As you go back and you take the Old Testament and you just just backdate it chronologically and see, the Bible starts off with Adam, who had Seth, and you just backdate them chronologically. The earth is dated about 6,000 years ago. Now, there may be some gaps, people say, in the chronology of the Old Testament. So it may be 6,000 to 10,000 years old, but creation scientists really believe that it's around 6,000 years ago. We believe that it was created in 6 literal days, that the evolutionary process could not at all have taken place. The problem with evolution as compared to the Word of God, and the problem with the whole idea of millions and millions of years ago, is this. If the earth is millions and millions of years old, and if the dinosaurs roamed on this earth for 140 million years, and then 65 million years ago they died off, if that was the case, then we need to understand that Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 is wrong. Romans 5 and verse 12 says this: "Wherefore, as by one man sin came into this world, and death entered into this world by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Bible says that death came into this world through the sin of Adam and Eve. If there was death millions of years ago before Adam and Eve, then the Bible is wrong, and evolutionists are right. There's other problems with the whole idea of evolution and dinosaur bones being 65 million years old. The fact is that it has been proven that there is a rate of decay for bones or any other type of material matter. That would mean that these bones would have to been around for the last 65 million years. And the chances of that happening scientifically are absolutely impossible. So we have the Bible that says God created man, or God created the earth around 6,000 years ago. He did it in 6 literal days. And then on the fifth and sixth days, all animal life was created. So on the fifth and sixth days, we just read that, all animal life was created. This included dinosaurs. So dinosaurs were created on the fifth, those that were water dinosaurs, they were created on the fifth day, and those that were land creatures were created on the sixth day. You say, is the Bible absolutely concrete about that? Well, live in your notes. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6 says, "For in six days, and by the time Exodus chapter 20 was around, was written by Moses by the command of God, a 24-hour day was established. We knew exactly it was a 24-hour day. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is." That would include dinosaurs. "And he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it." In Exodus chapter 31, this is repeated again. It says, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." If you want to look at the chronology of those 7 days, all you have to do, or 6 days, all you have to do is read Genesis chapter 1. And God tells us exactly what was taking place. So in the fifth or sixth chapter, fifth and sixth day of creation, God created all that there was to create, and that's then when dinosaurs were created. Now, The second question is this: how many types of dinosaurs are there? Now, I was supposed to have a list of different dinosaurs given to me, and I'm going to show you some pictures now. And so I was going to look really intelligent tonight as I told you the names of these dinosaurs. But you and I are just going to have to guess together because I didn't get the list that was supposed to be made up there. Now, this is dinosaur number one. Anybody have the name for this dinosaur? Somebody said T-Rex. Okay, go ahead. Is it right? Tyrannosaurus Rex, the dinosaur. Okay, that would be not a nice guy to have as your next door neighbor. Somebody give me this one. What is it? I would like to be able to say it. Triceratops, but I don't have my list because somebody up there did not give me my list. And I just want to say that one more time. So yes, that's a Triceratops. Okay, go to the next one. Come on, you Jurassic Park people. I know that one. What is that? Go ahead. A velociraptor. Go ahead. We got it. Velociraptor. That's good. Next one. How many do we have? I don't even know how many we have because I don't have my list that was supposed to be prepared for me to make me look intelligent. What is that one? Go ahead. That's a Dilophosaurus. A Dilophosaurus? Anyway, that's him. That's right there. That guy's at Disneyland right at the end of the thing. Okay, so that was it. We only got four of those, and I didn't get my list. I'd just like to make that known. If you know anybody up around there that didn't get me my list, let them know, and I tell them I really appreciate that. So there are dinosaurs, okay? So now, why did God create dinosaurs? That's a good question, and let me just give you exactly what the Bible says. There's three reasons that God created dinosaurs. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 14. The Bible says, "The Lord made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." So the first answer is this: he made dinosaurs for himself because he wanted to, just like he made you because he wanted to. See, why did he make me the way that I am? Because he wanted to. I would like to be a little taller, tough. He made you the way he wanted you. He made dinosaurs, the Bible says very simply, for himself. Romans chapter 11 gives us a second reason. The Bible says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Second reason he created dinosaurs was for his glory. The truth of the matter is, you can't look and just, we just showed a few pictures of dinosaurs, but you can't look at them and you can't see the massive size of them and you can't see how huge and all the power that is there. You can't read about them. The things that we are told about when we read about dinosaurs, it's an amazing thing. And it just shows us his glory. There's another reason. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. When we are before the throne of God, the Bible tells us that we are going to say this: "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things," and here it is, "and for thy pleasure they were created." The Bible tells us that God created all things, including dinosaurs, for his pleasure, because he enjoys them. I was out in the desert about a week and a half ago, just walking out in the desert, and it's amazing to me what you find out in the desert, the beauty that you'll find out in the desert. I don't recommend that you go out there in the middle of June, but this time of year is a great time of the year to walk out in the desert. You go out in the desert, you will find cactus blooming where no man typically is. Cactus blooming, these beautiful, beautiful purple cactus. You'll also find, if you look in the right places, beautiful yellow cactus. When Joshua was a little guy, he was at Ironwood, and he decided one day that he was going to pick a cactus for his mother. He climbed up Soldier Mountain at Ironwood, and there was a beautiful yellow cactus, and he decided to pick up pick the cactus, and he did. And he brought that cactus home to his mother, along with a lot of pain in his fingers. Do you know that the roots of cactus have thorns? Did you know that? If you don't, go out and dig up a cactus, kick it up with your hand, with your foot, and then try and grab it by the roots. No, don't do that. You'll find that there are little stingers everywhere on those cactus. Well, they're beautiful. Not only that, desert flowers are gorgeous. There's orange, there's purple, deep purple, there's light purple, there's desert flowers that have got beautiful blooms on the inside, just gorgeous. Then this fascinated me, and we were taking pictures of different flowers. I got down on my knees to take a picture because my wife teaches me. My wife's teaching me how to take pictures, and that you're supposed to frame things. You get close to get things from at a distance, and so I'm down there doing that to impress my wife with what a great photographer I am, and I'm framing it. And as I got down on my knees, I noticed really close to the ground. I mean, real close to the ground, no bigger than this. There's little tiny flowers, and the flowers are probably less than a quarter of an inch. But they're all blooming together, little tiny quarter-inch flowers that nobody would recognize. I mean, they're down there. Nobody sees them. They're out there blooming out in the middle of nowhere. Well, why would God put beautiful little tiny flowers? Now, if you take your camera and you put them right up close and you take a picture of them, they look like these great big beautiful flowers. But they're little tiny nothing flowers. Why would God do that? Because he likes to look at those little tiny flowers. He takes pleasure. Our God is not a God like Spock on Star Trek that is a God of logic. He's a God that enjoys things. The reason you have emotion is because he has emotion. The reason you experience pleasure is because he experiences pleasure. The reason you rejoice in certain things because he rejoices. The qualities, the characteristics of God are found in you, and because he created you. The Bible says this, that what he created on this planet, he created for his pleasure. He enjoyed that. He enjoyed having a dinosaur. He enjoyed having the animals that all the animals that we create, that we enjoy. All of creation, the Bible says, was for his pleasure. So he created him for himself, he created him for his glory, and he created him for his pleasure. That's why God created dinosaurs. Now, are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? For some reason, in your notes, it says Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. You can just scratch that out. I don't know why I put that there. They're not mentioned by name. But we got to remember this, that the name dinosaur wasn't invented until 1841, and it meant terrible lizard. In 1841, that was the first time the word dinosaur ever was invented. So the term in the Bible that's used, and it's used 16 different times, is the word dragon. Now, we think of dragons, we think of peach dragon, if you've watched that, fire-breathing dragons. It's interesting what the Bible says about dragons. Mentioned 16 times, just to give a couple of references. Psalm chapter 44 and verse 19 says, "Though thou hast sore broken us in the places of dragons and covered us with shadows, the shadows of death." If you look up Strong's Concordance, the definition of the word dragons, you'll see the word dinosaurs. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 13 says, "And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls." He's talking about desolate places where dragons live. So we do have those mentions. Take your Bibles and turn back to Job, Job chapter 40. The book of Job is believed to be the oldest book in the Bible. Now, it's in the poetic books, so you'd think that it maybe wasn't as old as Genesis, but it's considered much older than Genesis. And in the book of Job, we read the story of Job's trials. While he is speaking, or when after Job stops speaking, after his three friends stop speaking, after his young friend stops speaking, God begins to speak. And he begins to speak to Job about creation and all that he has created. And he describes in Job chapter 40 and verse 15 through 24, he describes Behemoth. He describes this this great animal. Let me read it to you, starting in verse 15. It says, "Behold, Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox." So Behemoth was created. He says, "I made him with thee. I made him at the same time that I made man on the sixth day. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar." So he gets this huge tail. And the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. He said, listen, God made him, and God can destroy him. This huge creature. Some said, well, this is an elephant, but that doesn't describe, an elephant's tail isn't like this thing that is described as huge beasts with his huge tail. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and the fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes, his nose pierceth through snares. So the idea is this is huge, huge creature. Look in chapter 41. God describes another animal named Leviathan. Leviathan. Verses 1 and 2. "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook?" The idea is this is a creature, obviously, that is in the sea and in the land. "Can thou draw Leviathan with a hook?" Steve was in my office today showing me pictures of these huge fish that he had caught out in the Pacific Ocean. He was doing some deep sea fishing. What was the name of the fish?
Marlin.
I mean, huge. These are big. They were as big as he was. I mean, huge. And he just kept pulling them in like every 20 minutes. He's pulling in these fish. It's amazing. Imagine catching something that looked like that on your hook. That would be a little scary deal. That's eat your boat type of thing. "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn?" Verse 7. "Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears?" Can you penetrate his skin? The idea is. Look down in verse 12. "I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who could discover the face of his garments, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the door of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together with a closed seal. One is so near to another that no air can pass, can come between them." So this guy's got these thick scales on his body. "They are joined one to another. They stick together and they cannot be sundered. By his kneesing a light doth shine, and in his eyes are like eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire." This is a fire-breathing animal. "Out of his nostrils go a smoke as out of the seething pot of the cauldron. So you thought fire-breathing dragons were just fairy tales. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. Now, I've met some people when they breathe on you. Anyway, we'll go on. But we have breath mints for that. And in his neck reigneth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone. He's strong as an ox. Yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. So this guy gets up and everybody gets down. By reason of breaking, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, or the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw and brass as a rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of the spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spread the sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Wow. It's quite a definition of this huge, monster-like, dragon-type being that when he rises causes fear on the people that are around him. And again, Job tells us he was made at the same time that man was made. So he was made on the sixth day. Does God mention dinosaurs in the Bible? I think that you have two mentions of dinosaurs and given names. So, number five, why aren't dinosaurs alive today? That's the big question. Okay, so they're here, they're extinct. I was reading the account of a scientist, and the account of the scientist, one account was talked about the millions and millions of years ago and that they just became extinct. Another scientist was more honest. He said it appeared that some type of massive catastrophe took place on the earth and that they all died instantly in a massive catastrophic event. I thought, well, that's interesting because that's what the Bible says is exactly what took place. They can't figure it out in their 140 million years, but the Bible tells us that there was a man named Noah, and God said, I'm disgusted with the entire earth. I'm upset with the entire earth. I'm going to destroy the entire earth. Why aren't they alive today? We believe that the flood wiped many of them out. We also believe that dinosaurs, that two of every type of dinosaur was taken aboard the ark. And we don't believe that they were taken in full size, but there are over 300 different species of dinosaurs that have been recorded. Some would say 750, but genetically there are, according to most scientists, about 300. Now they think that they're going to discover 700 to 800, but that's just guessing. Again, they have discovered about 300 specific dinosaur types. So what happened to them? Well, Noah was told to take one of or two of every species upon the ark, and if they were clean animals, to take seven. But so he did. After the flood, however, the Bible says there was a huge climatic change. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, the Bible says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Before the flood, creation scientists believe that there was a canopy that covered the entire earth. The Bible says that when God created the earth in Genesis chapter 1, that he separated the waters from the waters. and that there was water above the earth, and that there was water on the earth. So that the earth was surrounded by a canopy of water, which made the earth a beautiful tropical paradise. Well, when that canopy, after the flood, that canopy, the Bible says the waters that were above the earth came down, and the waters that were under the earth came up, causing, it wasn't just rain as we know it, but there's floods coming up from under the earth. There was this canopy of water that was above the earth that came down upon the earth and changed the entire landscape of the earth. So the canopy was now removed, and the tropical paradise no longer existed. That should be the next two notes that are up there. They should be flipped. They're not up there either. Okay. There would have been food. Your food storage would have been gone. Men after the flood, men began to kill for food. Remember, it was after the flood that God said, okay, now you can go out and you can eat. And so now man is allowed to kill for food, and animals were now predators. Their homes would have been destroyed. So with the great climatic change, by the way, since that canopy was gone, the tropical paradise was gone, and the Bible says for the first time, there's going to be four seasons. Now we have freezing weather, and we have extremely hot weather on the planet that we never had before the flood. That caused this, again, climatic change, which caused the dinosaurs to become extinct. Now, the next question is this: will we ever see dinosaurs again? Well, the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, that God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven." This is John writing. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The new earth will be restored one of these days to its former glory." So when this earth is passed away, some believe that that actually means it's going to be totally and completely destroyed. I am one of those. I believe the Bible says the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. But I believe that God's going to recreate this earth, and that it's going to be recreated to its former glory, and that God's going to establish that new heaven and that new earth. There's no reason to think, if God created the earth at the first time with dinosaurs and all that he saw, and he said it was all good, the only thing that messed it up was you and me. So if he recreates everything and restores everything to where it was before we messed it up, then dinosaurs, we could see them again, and we might be in the future looking up and enjoying those creations that God created. Until then, there's Jurassic Park. What can we learn from dinosaurs? What can we learn from dinosaurs? Let me give you four things, and then we're finished. Number one, we learn this, that God is big. Can you say amen to that? That is God's reason for telling Job about the dinosaurs. He tells Job about the dinosaurs because Job is questioning, why are you letting this happen to me? Why are you letting all this happen? And he's going to God and he's complaining. And for 38 chapters, now the first two chapters Job does good. That's about how long you and I would do. Maybe. Maybe we wouldn't even make it two chapters, but you've lost your house, you've lost your kids, you've lost your money, your body is sick, and your wife says, "Curse God and die." So how well are you going to do in those circumstances? So for two chapters, he does really good. For two chapters, he says, "You know what? I was brought into this world naked. I'll go out of the world naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He says, "I won't curse God. I'm not going to do that." But by the third chapter, he's really pretty upset. And he starts saying things to God like, "Why did you let my mother give me birth? Why didn't you kill me before I was born? Why didn't you let her abort me?" I mean, he goes on and on. So his friends come in, And his friends say, hey, tell us your secret sin. These are real comforters. And they come in and they're saying, comfort, here's the deal. Here's your basic problem. You've got some sin that you're not talking about. And finally, Job says, no, I don't. And so the second one comes along and says basically the same thing. Come on, Job, tell us the truth. And the third one comes along and says the same thing. Finally, a young man comes along and he says, listen, I wasn't going to talk because you guys are a lot older than me. And why should a young guy try to tell an old guy what to do and what to think? But you guys are all wrong. And he starts saying, God is in control and God can do whatever he wants to do. And if God wants to make a righteous man sick, he has the right to do that because he's God and you're not. Well, the guy's pretty right on. And after he's finished talking, God starts talking. And God starts talking and saying, listen, let me ask you a question. He asks questions like, oh, who tells the ocean to stop where it is? And he asks all these questions, and what makes the thunder? He just asks questions that man can't answer. And then he says, let me ask you a question. Could you? I have a pet. It's like I have a pet named Leviathan. How do you do with him? You know, and he starts talking about this huge creature that everybody's scared of, but he says, you know, he's mine. I made him. I put the fire in his mouth. I put the scales on his back. I made him as big as he is. And when I say fetch, he fetches. That's who I am. I'm big. I'm in charge of him. He's not in charge of me. I don't wake up and say, oh, I'm afraid of Leviathan or Behemoth. I'm not afraid of them. I've created them. I'm in control of them. So he wants us to know that he's big. And God lets us know, what he's in control of. Number two, God creates dinosaurs to let us know this, that he judges sin. You say, what do you mean? I mean, the fact that they are extinct, that they're no longer with us, is a reminder, hey, that death is coming. And it doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how tough you think you are. It doesn't matter what your plan is. I had a guy one time. I was driving down from Mount Charleston. We were at Mount Charleston all day, and we were riding horses. And he was an unsaved chiropractor. He was a friend of a member of our church, and so the friend, the member of our church said, "I want you to ride with my friend." He on the way back because he wanted me to preach to him for an hour, and so he said, "Go, my friend, sit my friend in." And so I'm talking to him. He was a chiropractor, and so I started talking to him about some different things. And I said, "You know, the Bible says we're all sinners." He said, "Yeah, I agree with that." I said, "The Bible says because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from God." I said, "You know, we're all going to die one day." I said, "We got about," this is about how I said it. I said, "We have about 60, 70, maybe 80 years on this planet." He said, "Well, not me." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, not me." He said, "You know, I've been studying this whole thing." He said, "I know." He said, "You know, there are people in Tibet that lived to be 120, 125 years old." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, if you eat like certain things, you like you eat bran and you eat this and you eat this, and I don't know whether it's worth it to live to be 125 years old if you can't have a steak now and then. Can you say amen to that?" It's Baptist thinking. Okay, so he said, "If you eat this stuff and you take these certain things," and he said, "I've studied minerals," and he said, "I just want you to know." I said, "I plan on living." He said, "I plan to live a lot longer than 70, 80 years. I said, "Okay, that's good." I said, "Man, that's wonderful. So you plan on living to be 120, 25 years old?" He said, "Yeah, I got a long time to go." I said, then let me ask you, what's going to happen then?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, what's going to happen? You're going to be at 125, then what's going to happen?" He said, "Yeah, I got your point. He's going to die. Doesn't matter how tough you are. Doesn't matter if you eat oat bran the rest of your life and do your exercises every day. You're going to die. That's what's going to happen." And the fact that we come and we look at dinosaurs and we see these huge, huge animals that roam the earth and they're dead tells us that God judges. And we need to understand that we're not going to get away with sin. God does judge sin. The third thing it tells us is this: the flood is real. You know, the Bible tells us this, that 1 Peter says that science that is falsely so called will willingly, as willingly ignorant of the fact that the earth was in water and out of water, and that God judged the entire earth. It's amazing. All you have to do, you don't have to be brilliant. Use myself as an example. You do not have to be a brilliant person. I, as a dumb kid, would walk through the desert and find seashells. Walking through the desert, little tiny, tiny seashells. And I think, man, there must have been water here for a seashell to be here. I wasn't like 8 or 10 years old, and I thought, hey, I know where that comes from. And when you see a whole bunch of them and you collect them and you're out in the desert collecting them, you say, there must have been water here. All you have to do is look at the landscape. Walk out in our desert. Look at the landscape, and you'll see through the rolling hill. There's evidence just in the landscape. You do not have to be brilliant. You don't have to go to like mega years of school. In fact, I think you have to go to mega years of school to figure out that what you see is not really there, because the evidence is there was a flood on this planet, and it was a worldwide flood. There's evidence of that, and there's evidence everywhere. And so the idea of the existence of dinosaurs is, again, a proof that the flood, one of the proofs that the flood is real. And then the last thing we can learn from this is that you can believe God. Because God lets us know that he is real. And the reality of, you come up with a question, you can go to the Word of God, and you can find out the questions, the answers to life's questions by going to the Word of God, and you can believe God. God tells us what life is all about. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know this. You can believe God. You can believe that he's real, that he suffered and died to pay the penalty of your sin, that we're all sinners, we deserve to go to hell, but God loves us in spite of the fact that we're sinners. And if we put our faith and trust in what Jesus did for us, we can know we're going to heaven. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to use your word for your glory and your honor. Father, help us to obey your word. I thank you, Father, that you give us truth, and that we can go to your word, we can find out truth, and that we can live by. I pray, Father, that you would use what has been said tonight just to encourage us to understand that you're big, that we can believe you, that you're in control of all things. And Father, help us to trust you with whatever it is that we're facing in our life today. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that's not sure they're saved, I pray that before they leave here, they'll put their faith and trust in you. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.